The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at ShelleheadComics.com. Welcome, as always, my wonderfully grumpy and at the same time lovable co-host, Dave Draper.
Yay.
And, of course, we are joined by two members of the amazing toy company Boss Fight Studios, the one and only our good friend Eric Aranya.
Hola.
And our other newest friend, Andrew Franks.
Guten Tag.
Oh, going German on us and stuff. That's crazy. I only know Wiener Schnitzel. I don't think that's an actual German word. But I like their food.
Ich spreche kleine Deutsch.
I don't like you anymore. I'm not smart enough to know another language. I tried learning Japanese once. That didn't turn out
well. Oh, dear Lord. That was like, wow. That was steering into the skid.
Yeah, that went off the rails quick.
Yeah.
Bunch of us were like, let's learn Japanese so we can watch anime and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, it didn't turn out
well. That's like one of the hardest languages to learn.
Yeah, we didn't know that at the time. We were high schoolers. We didn't know any better.
Okay, fair enough.
No, I know better, but we didn't get far on that. Yeah.
Okay.
I know how to say Nate Neji no Baka Inu, which is basically, screw you, stupid dog. That's about it. Okay. But that's about all I picked up.
Fair enough.
Mostly because we were like, what are the curse words in Japanese?
Well, everybody learns.
I know, right? Well, how are you, gentlemen? You guys doing good over there? I know you you guys sound like you're still hard at work packaging up lots and lots of orders still to go out.
True.
Yeah. We still have over 100 to pack up and ship.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you both I know there was a time when I worked for FedEx that I would have nightmares after a while of delivering packages. Do you guys go to sleep and still see you packaging, putting, you know, boxes together in your sleep, and you wake up in a cold sweat going, oh, my God.
I don't yet. We've been kind of we can really only like three or four of us can work in the shipping space before we all start tripping over each other. So we kind of like take it in shifts, and if one of us has something that's more pressing, then they go upstairs and work on what's more pressing. I mean, we're running a business, so there's always
something going on
to do. Yeah, not just on the creative end, but we actually have like conversations with we have lawyers and we have business people. We like there's always stuff happening. So, we've been all kind of taking it shifts. It's not like we're all packing 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time. So we all kind of rotate in and out. And so it's not as I used to run the Wizard magazine shipping warehouse many years ago. And that was a nightmarish hell of a time in my life. And then I had nightmares about packing and
shit. I'm sorry. Draper just handed me a note. Let me read. Where's my stuff? Oh, thank you, Dave.
Cute.
Every time you ask, it gets pushed back another slot.
See, that's why I don't ask, and that's why Jason like pretends like I do, because it amuses him.
It makes me smile so much.
Yes. And then someone else will get it before I do, and I'll get this text from Jason like, why did that get something before you did? Because, I'm sure a lot of people were all in, Jason. It's not that big a deal.
I know.
How big was your order?
I went all in.
Oh, you did?
Full yeah. All in. Like, I'm getting everything.
Dave gave you all the money.
Yeah.
I think... Did you respond to the address confirmation email?
No, I've gotten the first shipment.
Okay. You're just waiting for the rest of your stuff.
Oh yeah, he's just whining about the rest of it.
Yeah, because
No.
Well, we did. I don't think I'd send it to Eric, but we did.
Yeah, he knew because he posted it on Boss Fight. You saw the review that we did.
Because we did both an unboxing that was pretty funny because Dave brings this little box up and I poked my head in camera and was like, "Where? Thought it was supposed to be bigger. Why isn't it bigger?" You had like 400 figures. Why isn't it bigger? So we did a funny little opening video and then we did the review, which we're looking forward to the rest of that so we can review more because that's going to be a long video.
Now, a question I have is will do you know yet or are you planning on – because there's a lot of stuff left to go. Are there going to be like a second and third shipments now, do you think? Or is it all going to be one big thing when it comes in for Wave 2 or Group 2?
It should all be one big second shipment. I don't think we could afford with the shipping hikes recently. I don't think we could afford to ship three.
Oh, I can imagine. How much did that suck for you guys when they were like, "Hey, we're gonna raise the rates at the beginning of the year," and everybody's like, "Oh, son of a."
And it was only like 2 months before, or like a month before, we started shipping, so it really hurt because it was like just the worst timing.
Yeah, I know. I've seen a lot of guys, a lot of vintage toy guys selling stuff, and they're like, "Well, got to raise the price on shipping, gang. Sorry." It's like, oh my gosh. Stupid postal service and their rates. But, since Eric and sorry, I lost my voice there for a second. I know. Eric and Andrew, sorry about that, guys. I was talking and then my voice was like, nope, see you later.
Yeah.
Eric and Andrew are going to hang out with us for a while. We'll get back to talking about some of the boss fight stuff here in a little bit, but, of course, we're on the precipice of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice this weekend.
Which
reviews have already started to hit as the embargo was released on Tuesday. So the reviews are starting, and I've seen a long list of good reviews, and I've seen reviews all over Rotten Tomato where it's like at 43%. But the only thing anyone really cares about is the fact that Eric should be very happy that his boy Aquaman is in it.
That's true.
Because finally Aquaman gets a fair shake. That isn't Batman Brave and Bold.
I liked him in Batman Brave and the Bold. I thought
that was I loved him.
That's what I mean. That was like his best one.
That was the best Aquaman ever.
That was the best version of that character done.
It was genius the way they handled that character.
Yes. Now we just wait for Jason Momoa and see if he's
if he says outrageous, the movie will be worth it.
I assume he's just going to be playing out the episode where they go on vacation in an RV. I assume that's what his part in the movie is.
The best was the map in the background with like crazy random towns just jumbled all over the place.
I'm hoping he sings the hero song that he sung to Captain Atom, I think.
Yeah. That's...
I'm very curious. I've read a lot of different stuff about this film.
Doesn't matter. I mean, is this movie's like critic proof?
Well, I guess it technically is kind of critic proof. Well, we will see.
Well, okay.
But of course, I'm sure you guys are looking forward to it as well. To finally see it on the screen and. Finally see an epic battle between Batman and Superman, which people have been waiting for a long time now.
Yeah,
I'm not so excited about it.
You know, and I'm... While we're going to see it, of course, this is a film that I haven't really been too thrilled about, only because I'm not a fan of what Warner Brothers has started to decide to do with their universe and the fact that it's all dark and nasty looking.
Well, it's a sequel to Man of Steel, and I hated Man of Steel.
And Man of Steel was not a great movie superhero-wise at all. I mean, that they did the same thing to Superman and Man of Steel that they did to Optimus Prime, the last Transformers movie, and they were like, we're going to change that character. We're just going to make him something else pretty much.
Yeah.
So and that's why Man of Steel to me is just – it wasn't a great film, but – all that aside, I mean, Dave and I are still going to see it. I'm sure there's going to be some stuff that I really enjoy and like about it. I do like Affleck. I think he's going to be a good Batman and a decent Bruce Wayne. But I guess we'll see.
I guess we'll see.
I don't think he's a bad choice for Bruce Wayne slash Batman. I don't see... There's nothing about Affleck that tells me he can't be a good Bruce Wayne or Batman. Like, I don't think the casting is the issue at all. I just think the dark tone and the... You know, just the kind of crazy aggression for Superman just doesn't work for me. I kind of want Superman to be a more lighthearted feel. I love the Supergirl show.
Oh, yes.
That's like the perfect feel for a Superman family character to me.
I agree with that. I mean, especially, you know, I think the Warner Brothers television stuff has done so much better than the film. So when the film universe finally collapses and crumbles, although it's going to take a while because I think this film's going to do well. I know Wonder Woman's probably going to do at least decently well because it seems like it's – since it's not a Zack Snyder film, it seems like it actually has somebody who knows, you know, a well-written script and looks like it's – it doesn't look like it's been filmed through like four filters to make it look just disgustingly dirty and nasty. I think that'll do good, but I think everything after it's going to be
– Miller and Lord on Flash.
Miller and Lord on Flash, but then again – Snyder has come out and said that the Flash in the films is going to be a much darker kind. Again, everything's going to be darker and grittier with Snyder.
You know what? That just adds to the bad idea-ness of Flash. And again, Miller and Lord.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if it's a bad idea, you give it to them and they make gold.
That's true. That'll probably be good.
Just make worse ideas. Give them a George Lucas script.
Ooh.
There you go.
Hey, guys, we want you to remake Phantom Menace.
I'm surprised Disney hasn't, like, thought about that. Let's make good prequels.
But yeah, the TV stuff. And I agree with you. The TV stuff, especially. I haven't watched. I watched the pilot of Supergirl, and I haven't watched the series. I should be, and I regret not watching all of them. I will watch next Monday when the Flash crosses over because, well, that's just freaking awesome.
The Supergirl shows. I would say it gets better every episode. There's a couple of points where you're like, well, maybe they shouldn't have done that special effect. That wasn't the best idea, or. Like, Red Tornado looked really dumb.
Yeah.
The episode was really good, but he looked really dumb, and it's hard to see past that sometimes. There was a villain in it, I think like a largely made-up villain in a couple episodes ago that had this armor, and the episode was fine, but the armor, like, you almost can't do, like, full covered Iron Man-style armor on a small-budget TV show. Budget, like, it's just not a
that it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. But I'm most of the time, I think the way they do her flying and her heat vision and everything is done very well. And you know, the other characters that are, I love the cast.
Yeah,
you know, Calista Flockhart just oozes class in any scene she's in, and she like steals every scene she's in. She's so good. And then, you know, the rest of the cast, the kid who plays Jimmy Olsen is great, and Hank Henshaw is fantastic. Great show.
Yeah, I need to go back and sit down and watch that. Well, I also still need to catch up on two seasons of Daredevil at this point because I haven't watched either one of them yet. So.
Oh, we haven't watched it. We haven't watched Jessica Jones or Daredevil or the second season of Daredevil yet.
Jessica Jones
is good.
Jessica Jones is amazing. Just because David Tennant is just. Oh God!
So evil. He's the right. Like, you hate him for the right reasons.
He's, you know? He's the Doctor. If the Doctor was sinister and evil.
Yeah.
He plays the version of the Master almost.
the Purple Man too is such a great character.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys read the recent run of Daredevil written by Mark Waid, but he was used to amazing effect in that a little bit.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I know that I kind of figured once that hit and people were like, oh my God, the Purple Man's an amazing character, they would start using him fashion. Just because I agree, it is a fascinating character, and it's something that you would look at and go, it's kind of a dumb character, but it's, if used to the right degree and the right effect, it's spectacular. Which is awesome. So yeah, Batman. I mean, like I said, I think Dave and I are going to go this weekend to see Batman v Superman. There'll be a new a new episode of Dave and Evolve's movie reviews soonish.
Soon-esque.
So as the Ewok and the pony sit down and review a movie.
Yeah.
Some of the other interesting thing, I saw this on the Facebook group that is a Reaction Figure Fans, and it's a fan group, but there are several members of Funko and Super 7, some of the design team on there, who kind of haunt on there, and some are more active than others. But there was a post that said, hey, gang, we all had to sit down and manage to hash out which new Reaction figures will be hitting in 2016. I don't know if this is official. This is what I'm reading off here. They didn't show anything at Toy Fair that I saw at all. And I looked at everyone I know that went to Toy Fair and did coverage. I looked at all their stuff and never saw anything for Reaction. I was thinking, well, the line's dead because, let's face it, it wasn't
done well.
They're
clearing it out at Toys R Us. It's on a weird little side wing thing.
I figured they were resting that brand, especially since Funko already has so many other expressions that they were announcing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised to hear it's still going.
Well, and I think I know Dave and I talked about it at length before, but the fact that it's just that, you know, they were so excited with the alien stuff because, well, basically they used the old Kenner molds or the actual prototypes. They made molds out of those prototypes. But the reason those worked so well is because, well, they were designed in the 70s. And when they went to design the whole line of Reaction figures, they failed tremendously because they based them all off that one really awful Star Wars figure that everybody hates.
That one crummy Han Solo with a big head on.
Yeah. And instead of going the route like
Warpo.
Like Warpo did, like the guys in Chicago, Warpo did, where they actually went out and hired somebody that sculpted in that era, that knew, you know, that those what they had to work with in that area, were able to recreate that look. Funko was just like, oh, we'll just give it to the in-house guys and they can do it. And they just all look terrible.
They don't really feel like a vintage figure.
No, they don't.
And some of them are more successful than others. Like, you know, it's not all of them across the board. Like, I like the monsters quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, the monsters are great.
Yeah.
I was going to say the non-human characters, like the monsters, the gremlins.
Yeah, the gremlins are good, too.
Yeah, any non-human character, I think they really nailed. But just when they do a human, it usually doesn't work very well.
And I'm a huge Back to the Future geek. I was pumped for those, and then I saw them, and my heart sank. And I'm like, I don't want to own any of those. Like they're just not good. But they've announced some of the lines for this year.
Okay.
Starting, it looks Maybe. Like basically roughly in June. An Aliens, a 3-pack with a Power Loader, the Alien Queen, and Ripley. Chucky from Child's Play. A Series 2 Nightmare Before Christmas, which we kind of knew was coming. They talked about it. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Adam's Family. A line based on E.T. The Dark Crystal, which hopefully...
Super excited.
Cross your fingers that they went the same route as they did with the Aliens line, because those Dark Crystal prototypes exist. They're in the hands of collectors, but there are packaged and unpackaged prototypes. So hopefully they sought out those collectors to get scans of those prototypes.
If they didn't, again, as we were just saying, the monsters and creatures came out pretty well.
Yes.
So those figures will probably come out pretty cool regardless, right. I think. I'm that's the one thing I'm super excited
in
about.
My heart, though, that's what I want them to do is have access to those prototypes and make that line. Because those prototypes are beautiful.
Yes, I hear you.
Back to the Future 2. Star Trek, The Next Generation. The A-Team, a line of American Psycho, which I can't imagine there's going to be a whole lot in that.
You'd be like Scarface, there'll be one figure.
Yeah, and The Godfather, Wave 1, is what they say. So,
Abe Vigoda.
Yay! God rest Abe Vigoda's soul. God rest Abe Vigoda. Abe Vigoda, wherever you're at, we miss you, pal. You're gone too soon. Gone too soon. But I thought that was interesting that popped up today, and I was like,
it was interesting to hear some news on that front. Like Andrew was saying, it seemed like they were pretty much wrapped up. So
yeah, it did. I know there's some news of some lines coming to WonderCon, one of which I know you guys were heavily involved in. Actually, I think both of them weren't. No, just one of them. The Amazing Heroes line is coming to WonderCon, which is the which, of course, is Silver Streak and Madman and Chappie.
The Secret Wars-esque.
Yeah, the Secret Wars-esque line. And then it looks like they're also bringing Eagle Force, which you guys worked heavily on. Am I correct?
Yeah, we were involved in it early on. We did a lot of design work for it. We did a very lot of design work for it. We sculpted the initial Captain Eagle. The figure's been altered quite a bit from what we had done.
Oh.
They're adding articulation and stuff like that. And I think some of the engineering has changed from what we had initially done. And we're not sculpting any of the stuff going forward because, I mean, costs and time change and time issue and time, like a scheduling conflicts. We as a company are kind of refocusing on our own brands.
Yeah.
Right now, we're still doing some work for other people, but not a whole lot anymore because we just don't have time to handle hacks and all these other things for other people.
Right. And that's understandable. I mean, hacks has become such a huge thing now that it's released. Everybody's clamoring for more. That you guys have got to be like, well, crap. Let's get back on the wagon, guys. Which, I mean, has got to be very exciting for you guys, which that'll segue into us talking about.
That's a good segue.
Yeah, although I did want to point out the fact that when did Zyka pick up the Rimco license? Like, when did they buy all the rights to Rimco?
As I understand it, they literally just bought the Rimco, the trademark to the name.
Really?
I don't think they actually own any other assets that might have been tied to that name, which at this point, I don't know what they would be, but...
Oh, God, yeah, I don't know what they would have been from... I mean, yeah. I do know, you know, a lot of those lines from Rimco, but they were all Masters of the Universe, Warlord, and...
Yeah.
Warlord's an actual DC line.
Yeah, exactly. The Conan line that they did, and those are some of the popular ones that I can think of off the top of my head that Rimco did. I just noticed that on their newest pictures. It's like, oh, look at that, a new Rimco logo. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Much as I was in a supermarket the other day, a grocery store, and was looking around, and I noticed a bunch of board games on the shelf, and I'm like, those look like newer versions of old Ideal games. And I got closer, and I was like, oh, they have the Ideal logo on them. I was like, I think I need to make a call to Dr. Kent and be like, so who owns the actual Ideal name now? Because don't you have pretty much all the action figure licenses wrapped up? Who actually fished out all the rest of that bankruptcy crap and bought all those? Because there were tons of them. And I was like, holy crap, these are all old Ideal games from like the 60s that they just remanufactured and updated. I'm like, that's interesting. Anyway, I'm off my tangent now.
You are.
Boss Fight Studios, of course, just recently delivered the Vitruvian Hacks Series 1. It's been about a year and a half since the Kickstarter, since we first started talking about the Kickstarter. And of course, as with any toy line, there are some delays to be had. I mean, you guys had a little...
There was stuff beyond your control.
Yeah, there was stuff beyond your control. But they are finally delivered, and they are, without a doubt, some of the best... Well, there's no doubt. They're one of the best...
No, they are.
The best action figure line on the market anywhere right now, period. Aww. For the scale, for the cost, for what they are. I mean, they're ungodly amazing. And that's not just us, like... That's not us, like, oh, they're on the show, we have to talk about... No, that's how we really feel. They are just magnificent pieces of plastic. I mean, they are just beautifully, beautifully done.
They are fun. I mean, toy of the year.
Oh, God, yes.
Like, absolutely. Like, they're because, first of all, they're great action figures, which is the most important thing. They've got the articulation, they've got the accessories, and then they're just gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
To look at.
Oh, God.
I absolutely love, because when I backed the thing, I was just all about the Gorgons. I was just like, ah, cool, Snake Women, I love that. But, like, getting the Spartans in my hands and playing with them and posing them, like, I'm legitimately not just, I want my stuff. I am so excited to get these things. And, you know, the funny thing is I'm really excited about, you know, the next, what are they, Wave Series, the fantasy stuff.
Oh, I'm excited about
Series 2. I'm excited about that. And then I'm, like, super excited for Series 3 with the kind of pop sci-fi thing going on. Like... It's funny because I, like, if I had a criticism of the Hacks line, it's that you kind of pick these niche themes, but they're all niches that I love with a passion.
So how is that a criticism?
Well, I can see in a larger sense people going, I'm not interested in Greek, blah, blah, blah. Like, I can see people dismissing it, which is sad. But for me personally, it's like you people are making my toy line for me.
You broke into Dave's house, read his mind, and went, we have all his money.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. Like, I don't know how you're going to go going forward with whether it's going to be more Kickstarters or what. But I'm not just all in a Kickstarter sense, guys. I really honestly mean that I am going to buy as much of your product as I can get going forward. Because I truly love it. I truly think it's fantastic.
Wow. Well, thank you. That's very kind. We will accept whatever awards you want for this toy.
I can't say we're big enough to make awards, but I'll give you $5.
I'll take it.
All right, good. I mean, just like Dave said, just a gorgeous freaking toy line. I mean, everything about it is beautifully done. I mean, the articulation on the Gorgons alone is enough that and I've already seen people making custom Globulus out of those bases, out of the Gorgon's bottom halves with a little work. But I've seen a few of them that make me go, boy, I wish I could sculpt better. I'm like, I can paint like a crazy person, but man, if I could sculpt,
maybe we'll talk.
Oh, good. Yeah, man. You guys, as you guys are packing up the rest of this first wave of items, including the blanks and everything that's coming out, you guys have also got a number of convention exclusives. Can you rattle them off real quick? Because I can only think of like the New Jersey Comic Con one off the top of my head.
Yeah, sure. So we've partnered up with New Jersey Comic Con to create an Ultimate Spartan, which is a sort of a very deluxe version of the Spartan, where he has a whole bunch of extra weapons and like an unreasonable amount of weapons and helmets and stuff.
And then more than he can ever carry.
Yes. And then he's also like all sort of covered in battlefield muck. He's got kind of like a spatter all over him. So that's kind of a really specialized paint job.
He's so dirty.
Yes. And then we've also got sort of a traveling convention exclusive that is going to be appearing with us at every con until they're sold out, which is a two-pack of a special underworld kind of ghosty guy who's in clear purple and has sort of a clear smoke armor. And then he's paired up with a ringneck snake, Gorgon, who is blue and bright orange, a really, really striking deco. So that's a very cool pack. And then we've got a retailer sort of associated exclusive as well, which is the Elite Amazon Warrior, which is our Amazon figure, but she's got sort of a completely different deco, a different head, different weapons, very, very cool looking. And that one is available from Kokomo Toys.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You can order that online from them. And then internationally, it's going to be available from All the Cool Stuff in the UK.
Awesome. Very cool. I mean, yeah, that's the... You guys are making some, like, you know, with the convention exclusive and everything else, some cool stuff. But that leads us to, where, like Dave said, where do you guys go from here? Do we focus on, I mean, or do you go back to the Kickstarter route? You know, is it becoming a possibility where someone like Diamond Select is approaching and being like, we want to carry this stuff? Or not that you can speak too much on business matters, but right. Is it going to become that kind of an issue where suddenly you've got that money funneling in for that product in order to make the next waves of the next series of products?
Kickstarter actually represents an extra level of work over what you would have to do if you were just selling it, as a pre-order. Right now we haven't decided 100% what the route is going to be going forwards. But we're sort of crossing our fingers that we actually don't have to go back to Kickstarter. It's not that it's a bad thing, and obviously the Kickstarter supporters and Kickstarter was really, really good to us, but we actually would hope to avoid that extra work going forward if we can.
Going forward, you'll probably see us do things in smaller groups and not, you know, four waves at a time plus, you know, 20 blanks plus, like, you probably won't see, like, you'll probably be seeing smaller, more frequent groupings.
Definitely smaller.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, because we just, one of the things we didn't know going into this, we just didn't anticipate was that, you know, we completely overwhelmed our factory with the amount of product, and so one of the things, you know, we're trying to do with, you know, with our partners in China is to, you know, kind of make things a little easier and make things a little easier on them, not having so much stuff to watch and deal with all at once.
Yeah.
I know you guys are probably like, oh, we just kept adding Kickstarter goals, and it was such a good idea, but now it was such a bad idea. It came back to bite us in the rear, finally.
I mean, the big plus for Kickstarter is, you know, getting all that production money up front, because, you know, toys is one of those worlds where you gotta pay for everything before you get it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a lot of money going in, and so, you know, and in the end, nobody who runs a toy company, nobody gets rich off this. We're all going to be kind of in the same status that we've been for the past 10 years and, you know, for the future 10 years and stuff. It's right. Just that we're doing something we love and want to do.
Right. I say that's always been the conversation we've had in the past, like with Dr. John Kent and the RoboForce stuff. You know, he's always been the first to go, we don't make any money on this. People don't realize how expensive it is to get molds. He's like, molds are the most expensive thing out of the whole thing, and he's like, that costs a fortune.
Yeah. And the labor has just only increased and increased and increased over the past decade in China. So that, you know, the labor is actually a huge, huge part of it. And the labor isn't normally thought to be a huge part of it, but it is.
Right.
And because it wasn't a huge part of it before, but now it is. And so it's like there's so much involved. And then if you want quality product, you almost have to have somebody over there QCing everything, and it's different for, you know, Hasbro or Mattel or Playmates. Like, they have whole offices there of people who handle this stuff all the time. We have to send our sculptor over there for 3 months, and he's not really having any time to sculpt. So,
right,
you know,
he's over there. He's, yeah.
Poor Dave Proctor is, you know, practically a Chinese citizen now, and.
How long's he been over there now? Like a combined almost half year or something like that?
3 months.
3 months.
Just 3 months?
He'll be back in 2 weeks, I think, roughly. Something.
Maybe.
Like,
wow.
Yeah, hopefully. Unless something... He was supposed to be back a couple weeks ago, but then another huge hurdle got thrown in front of us in the middle of production. We have had what can only be referred to as a comedy of errors and unforeseen roadblocks that keep popping up, and there are things we already handled and thought we were done with, and then all of a sudden these issues are back, and it's like, well, wait a minute, why? We can't ship this, we can't send this, we can't, it's not what our fans paid for or expect. And so, like, we keep kind of having these like stumbling blocks when we think we're like at the home stretch.
Ugh.
So it's like, you know, you're running a hurdle race, and then all of a sudden a pit of cobras opens in front of you.
Yeah. Well, and you guys also had to deal with a lot of where the Marauder stuff was out of the same factory. Am I correct?
Yes.
And you guys had to actually help them deal with the issues there as well, correct? Before you could even get your own stuff out the door.
Yeah, our stuff got delayed. Our start day got pushed back a great deal because of that.
It was about what, 6 months?
Something like that.
Yeah. And there were a bunch of issues that needed some work on Marauder stuff, and it really not only. You know, we wanted to fix it not only because we have a special relationship with Marauder John, but because it was basically a trial run for our factory.
Yeah, so, right. I mean, it was helpful.
Yeah,
in so many ways, and you know, but at the same time, it also was a huge delay.
But then that goes back to what you were saying was, you know, you figured you had worked a lot of these issues out. Like, I'm sure, especially with the Marauder stuff, you're like, okay, well, we've got that issues. I'm sure we're going to have issues with our production as well. But then, like you said, you get those issues worked out, and suddenly it's like, oh, here they are back again.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that, you know, those issues are getting resolved. And like I said, I think a lot of people who, as I know they're towards the end, I saw some people speaking up throughout Facebook going, where's our stuff? Why aren't our stuff done? It's like, guys, you guys have no idea what this group has gone through to get these toys made for you. Maybe shut up and let them finish their jobs.
Yeah. If you have one of our figures in your hands, there is a good chance it was personally QC'd by our sculptor.
Yes.
So, I mean, maybe even packed in the package, you know, I mean, Dave has been doing everything he can, and it's been pretty unreal. So.
In fact, one consumer got a Spartan, I think, that was actually signed by Dave Proctor.
I saw that.
And okayed, and it was probably one of those figures, like, it was probably the first one off the line, and he looked at it, he packed it, and then he said, this is what they all need to look at, and he signed it so they could all, so, you know, the factory workers could see exactly what this is supposed to look like in the package. And that figure probably shouldn't have ever gone in a box and got shipped, but it did. And hey, that's cool. That's like a special piece that somebody has, you know? That's,
exactly. Gonna be worth quite a bit of money someday. for those people that are investing in these toys,
investment minded toy.
Yeah, exactly. While the rest of us are shaking our heads, going, "No,
I have so many Power of the Force figures that I'm sure are worth a ton of money."
Well, Eric, you've heard our story before, where Dave and Pixel Dan actually had like totes full of extras that they took to a toy man, and I think both of them blew them out at like a buck a piece. They were like, we just get rid of them. And I think a dealer came by and bought both.
Victoria.
Yeah. Came by and bought both of their stuff.
You want to hear a short story about those figures and my
absolutely
own personal experiences and such things?
Anytime we get to share Power of the Force 2 stories, yes.
I 12 years ago when I had cancer, I wasn't supposed to be working. I was, you know, undergoing chemo and radiation. I was sick, but I had to work because we had no money. And my wife and I ran a small t-shirt shop out of a flea market, but it was only open 3 days a week. So we would take orders and go there during the week and print stuff off. But we both needed to take on other jobs to help support ourselves. And what I did is I had a buddy who ran a vintage toy and collectible shop. It was a small little place, but it was like a real collectible shop. Like, he had like props from Battlestar Galactica and, you know, stuff like that. And like, but then he also had a lot of toys like G.I. Joe figures and Transformers and Star Wars and stuff like that. And he mainly carried he would like raid like Walmarts for Marvel Legends, and he'd bring in the rare Marvel Legends that were selling for like, you know, $80, $90, $100 on eBay at the time. And he would just put them out for like $5 to $10 more than he just paid for them at Walmart. And he was like, I'm not buying these to make money. I'm buying these to get people in the store.
Right.
Every day, you know, like that's all. So he would, you know, sell them back out. But he one day came in and, you know, he would let me like sit in back on the couch and just like sort figures all day. So I wasn't like exerting myself and I was, you know, and it was an easy, cushy job and it was stuff I liked. So it was a good place for me to be while I was sick. But he comes in one day with his van full of boxes. Of Power of the Force stuff. Totes and totes and totes full. And he goes, there's another two van loads in a storage unit.
Holy mother God.
And he goes, he pulls a table out to the front door and he just dumps them on and puts a dollar. And I'm like, I'm just looking at him like, oh my God, these things used to be worth so much money. And you're just clear, like, you're just selling them for a buck. And he goes, you know what? I just paid 25 cents on the dollar for them. And if this gets people to come in and buy, I don't care if that figure is, he's like, none of these figures are worth anything, but if one happens to be worth $20, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, but it was, we used to sell those at, you know, they would like, they were like a dollar a piece or like 10 for $8 or something like that. Like,
wow.
It's
such
a ridiculous thing. And people would come and they would just buy, you know, boxes full of them and give them to their kids.
That's awesome.
Because at the time, Star Wars figures were getting better.
Yes.
So, you know, like the adult collectors were collecting the new figures, but they had little kids, so they would buy the old figures for like next to nothing, so they, you know,
yeah,
just could have them.
You know, what still irks me to this day about Power of the Force 2 is, you know, my wife and I, we frequent a lot of antique stores and flea markets, especially in the spring and summer when we're kind of doing road trips. And we'll walk through an antique mall, and I cannot tell you how many, probably every antique mall I've been in, there's always one dealer that always has a little rack of toys, and on there probably a handful of like Power of the Force 2, like the Emperor, and like just random Power of the Force 2 figures. And I'm looking at the prices going, this guy wants like $30 a piece for these things. He's out of his mind. He or she are out of their minds. They're never going to sell.
They're looking through a 1997 copy of Wizard. Price them out.
Oh my God, honey, this Emperor figure says it's worth $90. We're gonna make some money. No.
On the cover of their Wizard is like Jim Lee, hot new artist.
Yes.
You know.
Now, I will say this, you know, we're talking about that, the kind of toys and stuff, but something else I wanted to talk about on the show was the Columbus Toy Show in Columbus, Ohio. It was this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Big show. I don't know if you guys have ever made it out to this neck of the woods or the Midwest here around there for toy shows, but CTS Productions, which puts them on, you know, Ohio is the, you know, we all know, some people don't, but Ohio was the heart and soul of Kenner. I mean, that's where Kenner was located.
Right.
And the Columbus Toy Show this last time, I heard from a couple of friends who went, there was a dealer there that had been friends with a Kenner employee, and the Kenner employee basically unloaded all of his prototypes onto this guy. He was just like, just take them, sell them. And this guy's table had prototypes from the unreleased second series of Chuck Norris Karate Commando, like all the Toy Fair, the photo prototypes and the prototypes that were at Toy Fair. So the entire second wave of Chuck Norris Karate Commandos. The unreleased 12-inch RoboCop, which the boxes are on eBay. You can find boxes out the wazoo for those for like $15, like not put together, but the figures, you know. And the thing that really caught, that made me go, I'd have loved to have seen those, was the unreleased second series of figures for Centurions, which, yeah, I think everyone that has dug into unreleased stuff has seen the Toy Fair catalog for those two figures that would have been released in that second wave and looked at them and gone, those are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, just spectacular looking toys. But this guy had the prototypes and they were still all complete. And
I love Centurions. You know, Andrew and I worked, you know, partially were trained by the guy who like came up with the entire concept of the interlocking. Yeah. The armor and everything. He was one of the Kenner guys who moved over to Hasbro. He, you know, he's a Mark Boudreau. He's also the guy who is largely responsible for almost every great Star Wars vehicle ever made.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He designed every Millennium Falcon.
Yeah,
he did.
Including the BMF?
Yes.
Including the BMF.
Wow.
And the big X-Wing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love Centurions, and they told me, and I guess the dealer wanted, I think it was $2,300 for the pair. And I was like, oh, it's too rich for my blood, but dear God, if I'd have had that kind of money, I'd have thrown it at him in a heartbeat. Because apparently these the prototypes that they had were, I don't know if they were near production samples or what they were, because they, I know all of those lines got pretty darn close to production before. I mean, the RoboCop had boxes made, so you know that they had to have been on the precipice of running a full production. Yeah. So a lot of that late run Kenner stuff was that close before Kenner just pulled the plug on everything. But I was just like, that's figures, you know, we haven't gone to a Columbus show in a while, and figures it's like, maybe we should go this time. Nah, we'll just sit at home. And they're like, oh, look at all these prototypes. I'm like, I'd love to see all those up close, especially the Chuck Norris stuff.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, it's a good thing you didn't go, because you would have bought one.
I would have bought, well, I would have tried to buy them all.
Oh, well, you don't have that kind of money.
No, but dear God, I'd been like, somebody buy plasma in here, a kidney, cut it out of me right now. Just, I'll take all the Chuck Norris stuff for a kidney.
How's your heart?
Good money for the kidney. Yeah, exactly. I only need half of it.
No, Jason, that's a lung.
That doesn't work. Oh.
Yeah, it's a lung or a liver.
Crap. Well, guys, we've got there are a few fan questions. I did ask the fans for it. Unfortunately, they filtered both questions for you guys and for us in one. But there are a few in here for you guys. One of them one of them is actually from our buddy Craig Lambert. He just says he just basically had a cool, awesome little thing for you guys. He's like, podcasting? Don't you still have boxes to pack? But then he goes on to say, I can't wait till the second wave is shipped out and you can start series two. So a lot of the fans are really looking forward to you guys running some more great stuff. Our buddy Josh Flood, who we call Floorburger, who, if you're not a part of the Toy World Order fan group, it's been a running gag for a long time between Dave and our buddy Josh Flood. He bought a David Hasselhoff figure from the old
Knight Rider
line. I was trying to think of the company that made it.
Kenner.
It was Kenner, wasn't it?
That's why it's on the Kenner shelf.
Oh, there you go. And, of course, we started calling him Floorburger because, well, David Hasselhoff famously ate
Floorburger. They got the joke. I heard them laugh.
I'm just making sure that other people understand. There is another audience listening, maybe, like tens and tens. he says, Floorburger here, the first wave of Retrieving Hacks looks amazing. If it's been revealed already or not, can you shed light on a potential next series and its theming? And also, what was the basis of the decision behind choosing the Greek theme?
Well, the first question about an upcoming series is, you know, series two is fantasy, which a lot of people know. You know, we've shown most of the what will be the waves, but we haven't shown any of the exclusive concepts and stuff yet. We've only shown the illustrations of them, and it's very kind of, you know, Middle Earth, Dungeons and Dragons-y. There's orcs and mages and elves and fairies and stuff like that, knights. And I'm very excited about Series 2. We have just to complete our nerd punch card, a few of us at the office have started a monthly D&D.
Nice.
Adventure.
Nice. What edition?
We're playing 5th edition for the first time. I honestly haven't played D&D since I was a teenager, but Katrina has, and a lot of the other Fred and Eric Ridlon, our painter, they have, and then, you know, we pulled in some, you know, local friends and stuff as well. And it's, we just set this up recently. Like, you know, we just had our first run last weekend, and it was great and fun and hysterical because we're all like idiots. And, but it's the first time I think any of us are playing fifth edition. And, you know, it's so we all started with all new characters and stuff, and it's been good. And so, you know, we're all very excited about the fantasy series, and the fantasy series is kind of crazy and weird, and you know, we tried to put our own spin on all the archetypes of this. You know, we didn't just want to copy what, you know, Warcraft is or what this is or what that is. We wanted to kind of put our own spin on it and our own characters. And series three, Andrew might be better equipped to talk about.
It's space stuff. it's sort of pulpy space stuff, but it's retro, but filtered through my dumb brain, and it's sort of retro from different sources. Like
I say, it almost sounds like it'd be like Buck Rogers.
Well, yeah, the concept art I've seen, there's the spacesuits with the big bubble helmets. That's kind of the retro Buck Rogers thing.
Yep.
And then there was a cyborg or a robot that had a very kind of a Gundam look to it.
Yeah, yeah. So instead of sort of going, you know, there's bubble helmeted jetpack girls, and then there's also, you know, instead
so
of
excited.
Going sort of the clunky like movie serial robot look, it's a little more like 1970s Japanese toy, like Micronauts and.
Yeah,
stuff like Shogun Warriors kind of thing.
Yeah, so
yeah, nice. Cool.
So it's gonna be its own kind of its own unique thing. But yeah, we're very excited about. There's many waves planned into the future, and
I think through nine we have nine.
Lots of good planned. Stuff.
Wow, neat.
Wow,
good
stuff. And we also have some stuff coming up that we haven't announced yet. We're hoping to announce it soon, but we will want to make sure all our ducks are in a row before we announce anything, and then have people waiting a year for it. You know, like
yeah.
we want to have
yeah.
things moving a little faster. We admittedly got a little ahead of ourselves in announcing stuff, so we're trying to kind of slow the announcing down and speed up the production.
I imagine that's
yeah,
fair.
That's yeah. a good strategy actually.
So is there a, go ahead.
You know, as to, what was his second?
The decision behind choosing the Greek theme.
Ah, that would be Dave Proctor. You know, early on we all got together and we put this together, and early on we were initially trying to figure out what one or two figures can we do? Literally, that was what we were thinking. What one or two figures can we do? And Dave is a very big fan of Greek history. And he really, really, like, we you know, we talked about all sorts of stuff. Should we do ninjas? Should we do this? Should we do that? Should we do superheroes? Like, you know, what should we do? And Dave kept coming back to the Spartan. He really, really wanted to do this. So we, I don't know what led to the final decision of that, of it being that, but something did. And then we started looking through, you know, art and started going, well, we could also, you know, with a different helmet and secondary, we could do an Athenian. And then somebody brought up, you know, the idea of doing a Medusa with a fully articulated tail. And then it just kind of snowballed from that. But, you know, the plan was always to kind of do what we want when we want to, like, kind of just do, we don't want, like, the phrase, there are no limits, is largely for us to have no design restrictions. If we want to do weird dinosaur monsters, we will.
Just keep talking up Dave's alley.
Yeah,
he's gonna end up signing.
Yeah,
we're
dinosaur monsters. Yeah. Good God, you're just ticking off everything I love.
And
you're hitting all of Dave's.
Yeah,
buttons.
Yeah.
So I mean, the series one though did kind of form our almost the kind of backbone of the way we'll roll stuff out with, you know, 3 to 4 waves of carded figures plus extra boxed exclusives and stuff. the blanks came up later on, and that was just something we added, started adding in. They're doing really well, though, in pre-sales, so we're very happy with that. And the accessory packs was something we added just kind of on a whim. We didn't, you know, thinking back, like, at Hasbro, like, it never seemed like accessory packs were something that would do well enough for a big company like Hasbro. And even, like, Mattel did those Masters of the Universe accessory packs, but they only did...
four, I think.
Yeah, like four, and then they kind of stopped doing them. So I'm not sure how well they did. I'm sure they
hard to say with Mattel, honestly.
Yeah, like they may have done fine, and Mattel just didn't want to keep doing them. Or, you know, like, who knows? So, like, the accessory packs were just kind of something we just kind of threw in there on a whim, but they're doing really well, too. So, you know, we'll see if we continue with that. Or if we change that format a little bit, then, you know, change it from how we have it set up right now. You know, some things will be tweaked for certain because, you know, even though they're doing well, it doesn't mean they can't do better. And, but yeah, that's kind of how that kind of spiraled into a weird place. But, it was Dave Proctor. He made us do Spartans.
And a smart choice, too, because holy crap. That's all I got to say about that. And then the last one, it's from our friend Bo Curley, who apparently you pronounce his name Bo, not Boo.
Yeah, although, why didn't you know that?
I'm going to go with Boo.
Right.
I like
Wait, wait, Boo. How is it spelled?
Bo, B-A-U.
Yeah.
Like Bo Duke?
Yeah.
Oh. Did he lose his ex?
Yes. Well, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Bo's got this thing where he likes to ask, but he wants to know what you guys are wearing. Maybe party pants? I don't know. We just go with it. I don't know. I'm always naked, and Dave's usually wearing something weird. But
you don't have to
answer that question, because if you're both naked, that's super weird, because then there's three of us naked, and that just doesn't work.
I am wearing brown cargo pants and a Hungry Hippos, an ironic Hungry Hippos t-shirt.
Mostly business casual, but playful.
Sure. And I am wearing one teal and one neon green sock.
Was that on purpose or a mistake, Eric?
Purpose.
Okay. I'll allow it. Your fashion faux pas has been allowed.
I am a fashion faux pas from head to toe every day.
I can't say much. Most of the time, I walk the dog in socks and sandals. So,
Eric likes to look
dressed like a chav right now.
Eric likes to look to Punky Brewster for fashion inspiration.
Yes,
and there is no better person to look towards. Let me tell you, because Punky knew where was at. Punky. Oh, Punky. That's my impression of him. That's about the best I can do.
Okay.
Sorry, Dave. I've disappointed you again. Disappointed you again.
This is my just staring at your face.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I see all the time.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, Andrew and Eric, thank you very much. Of course, you guys can find all of their great stuff at bossfightstudio.com. Check them out. You can also get a link to the store there, which is a different address, but the link is on Boss Fight Studios' homepage. You can click on that, go to the store, get your own pre-orders in.
I may or may not have ordered a bunch of extra stuff.
Yeah, no.
After I got the first shipment.
Yeah, no. Dave did.
No, Dave dropped about $100 on a bunch of extra stuff.
Deep ordering.
Yeah.
You don't need food.
Well,
that's true. I could live off the reserve for a while.
Yes.
I got the dog. So
and Dave has the dog, but he needs to eat. Come here, puppy. Daddy's hungry. But you can check them out, bossfightstudio.com. And, of course, Andrew and Eric, thanks a lot for hanging out with us,
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate you guys coming on.
And sincerely, thank you for the toy line. I really, truly do love it very much.
Thank you. Why do you like it? I'm very happy.
Yeah. And I would say that that's pretty much all across the board and every fan who's gotten their hands on these amazing figures. So if you have not ordered, of course, some of them you won't be able to order because some of them were Kickstarter exclusives, but the majority of these figures you can get your hands on if you go to Boss Fight Studios' page, bossfightstudio.com, hit the store button and pick them up, because our review, while it was great, does not do these figures justice until you actually physically get them in your hand and start playing with them, because they are unbelievable. Honestly, it's what if every major company could pull that off, I think action figures would be in a different place in retail right now, possibly. But
I would have no compunction paying $20 a figure for that quality.
No.
At retail. Absolutely none. I'm not joking. I seriously. At this stage in the game, that feels like a bargain.
Yeah. So amazing, amazing stuff. But guys, thank you again. We always enjoy having Boss Fighters on. Eric's been on a couple times now, and Andrew, we'd love to have you back on one of these days as well. We love having you guys on, shooting the stuff and seeing what's going on in your neck of the woods and your world. So thank you both of you for coming on and hanging out with us.
Sure. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Anytime, gentlemen. And, of course, thanks to our sponsor, Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at shellheadcomics.com. Go check them out, see all they have to offer there, and then go subscribe to us. Go to youtube.com/toyworldorder, hit subscribe, mash the like button, as the puppet likes to mention. Mash it, mash it, mash it. We have so much there to offer, video reviews, shows, so much more, so check that out. And until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Now, the Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Oh, peace out.